Chapter 46. To attract his attention to one sentence of a tale of distress, that vagabond was made for the next 2 days. It was so notorious in the house, that the masters and head boys took pains to cut these marauders off at angles, and to get out of windows, and turn them out of the courtyard, before they could make the doctor aware of their presence, which was sometimes happily effected within a few yards of him, without his knowing anything of the matter, as he jogged to and fro. Outside his own domain, and unprotected, he was a very sheep for the shears. He would have taken his gaiters off his legs, to give away. In fact, there was a story current among us, I have no idea, and never had, on what authority, but I have believed it for so many years, that I feel quite certain it is true, that on a frosty day, one winter time, he actually did bestow his gaiters on a beggar woman, who occasioned some scandal in the neighborhood, by exhibiting a fine infant from door to door, wrapped in those garments, which were universally recognized, being as well known in the vicinity as the cathedral. The legend added, that the only person who did not identify them was the doctor himself, who, when they were shortly afterwards displayed at the door of a little second-hand shop of no very good repute, where such things were taken in exchange for gin, was more than once observed to handle them approvingly, as if admiring some curious novelty in the pattern, and considering them an improvement on his own. It was very pleasant to see the doctor with his pretty young wife. He had a fatherly, benignant way of showing his fondness for her, which seemed in itself to express a good man. I often saw them walking in the garden where the peaches were, and I sometimes had a nearer observation of them in the study or the parlor. She appeared to me to take great care of the doctor, and to like him very much, though I never thought her vitally interested in the dictionary. Some cumbrous fragments of which work the doctor always carried in his pockets, and in the lining of his hat, and generally seemed to be expounding to her as they walked about. I saw a good deal of Mrs. Strong, both because she had taken a liking for me on the morning of my introduction to the doctor, and was always afterwards kind to me, and interested in me, and because she was very fond of Agnes, and was often backwards and forwards at our house. There was a curious constraint between her and Mr. Wickfield, I thought, of whom she seemed to be afraid, that never wore off. When she came there of an evening, she always shrunk from accepting his escort home, and ran away with me instead. And sometimes, as we were running gaily across the cathedral yard together, expecting to meet nobody, we would meet Mr. Jack Maldon, who was always surprised to see us. Mrs. Strong's mama was a lady I took great delight in. Her name was Mrs. Markleham, but our boys used to call her the old soldier, on account of her generalship, and the skill with which she marshaled great forces of relations against the doctor. She was a little, sharp-eyed woman, who used to wear, when she was dressed, one unchangeable cap, ornamented with some artificial flowers, and two artificial butterflies supposed to be hovering above the flowers. There was a superstition among us, that this cap had come from France, and could only originate in the workmanship of that ingenious nation. But all I certainly know about it, is, that it always made its appearance of an evening, wheresoever Mrs. Markleham made her appearance, that it was carried about to friendly meetings, in a Hindu basket, that the butterflies had the gift of trembling constantly, and that they improved the shining hours at Dr. Strong's expense, like busy bees. I observed the old soldier, not to adopt the name disrespectfully to pretty good advantage, on a night which is made memorable to me by something else I shall relate. It was the night of a little party at the doctor's, which was given on the occasion of Mr. Jack Maldon's departure for India, whither he was going as a cadet, or something of that kind. Mr. Wickfield having at length arranged the business. It happened to be the doctor's birthday too. We had had a holiday, had made presents to him in the morning, had made a speech to him through the head boy, and had cheered him until we were hoarse, and until he had shed tears. And now, in the evening, Mr. Wickfield, Agnes, and I went to have tea with him in his private capacity. Mr. Jack Maldon was there, before us. Mrs. Strong, dressed in white, with cherry-colored ribbons, was playing the piano when we went in, and he was leaning over her to turn the leaves. The clear red and white of her complexion was not so blooming and flower-like as usual, I thought, when she turned round, but she looked very pretty, wonderfully pretty. I have forgotten, doctor, apostrophe said Mrs. Strong's mamma, when we were seated, to pay you the compliments of the day, though they are, as you may suppose, very far from being mere compliments in my case. Allow me to wish you many happy returns. Apostrophe, I thank you, ma'am, apostrophe replied the doctor. Many, many, many happy returns, apostrophe said the old soldier. Not only for your own sake, but for Annie's, and John Maldon's, and many other people's. It seems but yesterday to me, John, when you were a little creature, a head shorter than Master Copperfield, making baby love to Annie behind the gooseberry bushes in the back garden. Apostrophe, my dear mamma, apostrophe said Mrs. Strong, never mind that now. Apostrophe, Annie, don't be absurd, apostrophe returned her mother. If you are to blush to hear of such things now you are an old married woman, when are you not to blush to hear of them? Apostrophe, apostrophe, old? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mr. Jack Maldon. Annie? Come. Apostrophe, yes, John, apostrophe returned the soldier. Virtually, an old married woman. Although not old by years, for when did you ever hear me say, or who has ever heard me say, that a girl of 20 was old by years? Your cousin is the wife of the doctor, and, as such, what I have described her. It is well for you, John, that your cousin is the wife of the doctor. You have found in him an influential and kind friend, who will be kinder yet, I venture to predict, if you deserve it. I have no false pride. I never hesitate to admit, frankly, that there are some members of our family who want a friend. You were one yourself, before your cousin's influence raised up one for you. Apostrophe, the doctor, in the goodness of his heart, waved his hand, as if to make light of it, and save Mr. Jack Maldon from any further reminder. But Mrs. Markleham changed her chair for one next the doctor's, and putting her fan on his coat sleeve, said, No, really, my dear doctor, you must excuse me if I appear to dwell on this rather, because I feel so very strongly. I call it quite my monomania, it is such a subject of mine. You are a blessing to us. You really are a boon, you know. Apostrophe, nonsense, nonsense, apostrophe said the doctor. No, no, I beg your pardon, apostrophe retorted the old soldier. With nobody present, but our dear and confidential friend Mr. Wickfield, I cannot consent to be put down. I shall begin to assert the privileges of a mother-in-law, if you go on like that, and scold you. I am perfectly honest and outspoken. What I am saying, is what I said when you first overpowered me with surprise. You remember how surprised I was, by proposing for Annie. Not that there was anything so very much out of the way, in the mere fact of the proposal it would be ridiculous to say that, but because, you having known her poor father, and having known her from a baby 6 months old, I hadn't thought of you in such a light at all, or indeed as a marrying man in any way, simply that, you know. Apostrophe, I, apostrophe returned the doctor, good-humoredly. Never mind. Apostrophe, but I do mind, apostrophe said the old soldier, laying her fan upon his lips. I mind very much. I recall these things, that I may be contradicted, if I am wrong. Well, then I spoke to Annie, and I told her what had happened. I said, my dear, here's Dr. Strong has positively been, and made you the subject of a handsome declaration and an offer. Did I press it in the least? No. I said, now, Annie, tell me the truth this moment, is your heart free? Mama, she said crying, I am extremely young, which was perfectly true, and I hardly know if I have a heart at all. Then, my dear, I said, you may rely upon it, it's free. At all events, my love, said I, Dr. Strong is in an agitated state of mind, and must be answered. He cannot be kept in his present state of suspense. Mama, said Annie, still crying, would he be unhappy without me? If he would, I honor and respect him so much, that I think I will have him. So it was settled. And then, and not till then, I said to Annie, Annie, Dr. Strong will not only be your husband, but he will represent your late father. He will represent the head of our family, he will represent the wisdom and station, and I may say the means, of our family, and will be, in short, a boon to it. I used the word at the time, and I have used it again, today. If I have any merit it is consistency. Apostrophe, the daughter had sat quite silent, and still during this speech, with her eyes fixed on the ground, her cousin standing near her, and looking on the ground too. She now said very softly, in a trembling voice, Mama, I hope you have finished? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, my dear Annie, apostrophe, returned the old soldier, I have not quite finished. Since you ask me, my love, I reply that I have not. I complain that you really are a little unnatural towards your own family, and, as it is of no use complaining to you, I mean to complain to your husband. Now, my dear doctor, do look at that silly wife of yours. Apostrophe, as the doctor turned his kind face, with its smile of simplicity and gentleness, towards her, she drooped her head more. I noticed that Mr. Wickfield looked at her steadily. When I happened to say to that naughty thing, the other day, apostrophe pursued her mother, shaking her head and her fan at her, playfully, that there was a family circumstance she might mention to you indeed, I think, was bound to mention she said, that to mention it was to ask a favor, and that, as you were too generous, and as for her to ask, was always to have, she wouldn't. Apostrophe, Annie, my dear, apostrophe, said the doctor. That was wrong. It robbed me of a pleasure. Apostrophe, almost the very words I said to her. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed her mother. Now really, another time, when I know what she would tell you, but for this reason, and won't, I have a great mind, my dear doctor, to tell you myself. Apostrophe, I shall be glad if you will, apostrophe, returned the doctor. Shall I? Apostrophe, apostrophe, certainly. Apostrophe, well then, I will. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the old soldier. That's a bargain. Apostrophe, and having, I suppose, carried her point, she tapped the doctor's hand several times with her fan, which she kissed first, and returned triumphantly to her former station. Some more company coming in, among whom were the two masters and Adams, the talk became general, and it naturally turned on Mr. Jack Maldon, and his voyage, and the country he was going to, and his various plans and prospects. He was to leave that night, after supper, in a postchaise, for Gravesend, where the ship, in which he was to make the voyage, lay, and was to be gone, unless he came home on leave, or for his health I don't know how many years. I recollect it was settled by general consent that India was quite a misrepresented country, and had nothing objectionable in it, but a tiger or two, and a little heat in the warm part of the day. For my own part, I looked on Mr. Jack Maldon as a modern Sindbad, and pictured him the bosom friend of all the Rajas in the East, sitting under canopies, smoking curly golden pipes a mile long, if they could be straightened out. Mrs. Strong was a very pretty singer, as I knew, who often heard her singing by herself. But, whether she was afraid of singing before people, or was out of voice that evening, it was certain that she couldn't sing at all. She tried a duet, once, with her cousin Maldon, but could not so much as begin, and afterwards, when she tried to sing by herself, although she began sweetly, her voice died away on a sudden, and left her quite distressed, with her head hanging down over the keys. The good doctor said she was nervous, and, to relieve her, proposed a round game at cards, of which he knew as much as of the art of playing the trombone. but I remarked that the old soldier took him into custody directly for her partner, and instructed him, as the first preliminary of initiation, to give her all the silver he had in his pocket. We had a merry game, not made the less merry by the doctor's mistakes, of which he committed an innumerable quantity, in spite of the watchfulness of the butterflies, and to their great aggravation. Mrs. Strong had declined to play, on the ground of not feeling very well, and her cousin Malden had excused himself, because he had some packing to do. When he had done it, however, he returned, and they sat together, talking, on the sofa. From time to time she came, and looked over the doctor's hand, and told him what to play. She was very pale, as she bent over him, and I thought her finger trembled as she pointed out the cards, but the doctor was quite happy in her attention, and took no notice of this, if it were so. At supper, we were hardly so gay. Everyone appeared to feel that a parting of that sort was an awkward thing, and that the nearer it approached, the more awkward it was. Mr. Jack Maldon tried to be very talkative, but was not at his ease, and made matters worse. And they were not improved, as it appeared to me, by the old soldier, who continually recalled passages of Mr. Jack Maldon's youth. The doctor, however, who felt, I am sure, that he was making everybody happy, was well pleased, and had no suspicion, but that we were all at the utmost height of enjoyment. Annie, my dear, apostrophe said he, looking at his watch, and filling his glass, it is past your cousin Jack's time, and we must not detain him, since time and tide both concerned in this case wait for no man. Mr. Jack Maldon, you have a long voyage, and a strange country, before you, but many men have had both, and many men will have both, to the end of time. The winds you are going to tempt, have wafted thousands upon thousands to fortune, and brought thousands upon thousands happily back. Apostrophe, it's an affecting thing, apostrophe said Mrs. Markleham, however it's viewed, it's affecting. To see a fine young man one has known from an infant, going away to the other end of the world, leaving all he knows behind, and not knowing what's before him. A young man really well deserves constant support and patronage, apostrophe looking at the doctor, who makes such sacrifices. Apostrophe, time will go fast with you, Mr. Jack Maldon, apostrophe pursued the doctor, and fast with all of us. Some of us can hardly expect, perhaps, in the natural course of things, to greet you on your return. The next best thing is to hope to do it, and that's my case. I shall not weary you with good advice. You have long had a good model before you, in your cousin Annie. Imitate her virtues as nearly as you can. Apostrophe, Mrs. Markleham fanned herself, and shook her head. Farewell, Mr. Jack, apostrophe said the doctor, standing up, on which we all stood up. A prosperous voyage out, a thriving career abroad, and a happy return home. Apostrophe, apostrophe, we all drank the toast, and all shook hands with Mr. Jack Maldon, after which he hastily took leave of the ladies who were there, and hurried to the door, where he was received, as he got into the chaise, with a tremendous broadside of cheers discharged by our boys, who had assembled on the lawn for the purpose. Running in among them to swell the ranks, I was very near the chaise when it rolled away, and I had a lively impression made upon me, in the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.